Jesus' blood. Wonderful. Well, good morning, everyone. It is great to see you this morning. Welcome, welcome. And those online as well, good to see you this morning. And I missed you last weekend. I had the privilege of ministering in a church in Hillcrest, Grace Hill Church, up in this beautiful old stone chapel. They rarely had a church bell. It was, I think, the first time in my life I preached in a church that rarely had, not my little power bell, but like a proper church bell. And they send lots of love, and it was a privilege ministering there and just sending all of your love as well. It's good to see what God is doing, different churches around our nation, different areas, and privileged to be able to encourage them. Brilliant. I have got my picnic shirt on. Just so you're wondering, yep, I am ready. So don't be that guy or that girl who doesn't come along to the church picnic. Come on, just love you to join us 4 o'clock this afternoon. Really looking forward to just fellowshipping together. And even if you don't know anyone, come along, come with me. I've got the secret strategy of pastoring and tasting people's food. It works amazingly well. So maybe you can like be a pastor in training. Come with me. I will introduce you to some of the most amazing food in the world. So looking forward to that. Father, thank you so much for this evening, for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to gather around your word together and trusting, Lord God, that you will come and speak to every one of us. When you spoke, you created the heavens and the earth. Your word is living and active and powerful. And if we allow your word to take root in our heart, we are transformed. And Father God, that's what we're praying for, not for heads to be enlarged, but hearts to be transformed by the power of your word. And we know we need your anointing, we need your Holy Spirit for that. And so we invite you, say, come Holy Spirit, come and speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty, just as we come to the end of the year, we've finished our Call to Vision journey. And I've been studying the book of 1 Peter lately. I've told the preachers between now and the middle of January, preach whatever you want. Preach what God has put on your heart. And I've been pondering the book of 1 Peter, once a fisherman. I love, if you know the story of the New Testament, Peter was this remarkable disciple of Jesus. Peter became that leader of the early church. Peter underwent an incredible transformation as Jesus discipled him. And so I've just been meditating on some of the passages out of the book of 1 Peter. And if you are new to the faith or you don't know where to read in your Bible right now, I would encourage you, why don't you pull out 1 Peter? And just take a little section by section by section. Pretend you're the preacher and you're going to preach on some stuff. Make some notes and you'll be amazed at what God begins to say to you. So if you do have your Bible with you, even if it's an electronic type Bible, bring it out because then you can make some notes or you can follow along on the screen. I'm going to be reading a portion from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. And Peter writes this. He says, as you come to him, the living stone. And we know he's talking about Jesus right here. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture, it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. One of my favorite verses right there. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Verse 7, now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But, I love this. Remember, ladies, your conference, but God. Here's one of those but God moments. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Isn't that beautiful? The richness of God's word. I want to share a testimony with you this morning. When I was with a team a couple of weeks ago in Spain, helping with some church planting, we want to see the gospel coming back into that European nation. But while we were coming back, we were stopping for a day. We had a couple of hours in Madrid, beautiful city of Madrid. And I'd arranged to meet up with this lady weirdly had bumped into her literally on the streets of Madrid the year before we'd bumped into her. And she recognized me on the streets of Madrid because I'd met her about 7-8 years before in Venezuela, other side of the world. She was part of a church in Venezuela, and I'd ministered in that church. And while we walked on the streets of Madrid a year ago, I was crossing the street and she said, "Hello, Brent," which is weird when you're in a completely foreign city of millions of people on the other side of the world. And we arranged, let's try and meet next year. We didn't have time then. I'd love to hear what God is doing in your life. Her and her husband had moved to Spain and they were now living there. I wanted to know about the church they were involved in. And so we met up with the team in this coffee shop, and I'm so grateful that she recognized me again because I would have walked right past her. I remember her as being well-rounded. And I mean, she had kind of traditional black, long, straight Latina type hair, as most of the South Americans do. And now she had blonde highlights in her hair. She was fit, athletic, very trim. And luckily, again, she said, "Hello, Brent," because I would have walked straight past her. And I actually asked her about it. I said, "You have changed a lot since I saw you last year." And she began to tell me the story of how for years she'd wrestled in this area of her life. She'd always wanted to lose weight, but tried this. Nothing ever seemed to work. And then she said, "If one day I felt God speak to me," not like an audible voice, but she felt in her heart, God dropped something into her heart. And she felt God say to her, "You don't have a weight problem, you have an identity problem." And she was like, "Huh?" And so as she began to ponder on this, she thought, well, I suppose when she thought about herself, She always kind of saw herself. She's got a bit kind of a background and things that happened, and she saw herself as less than valuable. She kind of saw herself as ugly. She saw herself as not a disciplined person. And you know, it doesn't matter what the Bible says here. It's what has the Bible got here. And even though she knew many things about what the Bible said about her, all those beautiful songs we've just been singing, "You are chosen, you're a child of God, you're no longer a slave to fear," you can know it here, but it hadn't yet got here. So she said, so I tried an experiment. She studied in the Bible and wrote down all of these verses that described her identity. This is what God says. I know what I say about me, but this is what my Father says about me. You are a child of God. You are precious. You are chosen. You are loved. And she wrote them down and she says, it might sound corny, but then I took one of those a day and I looked at the mirror and I had a good chat with that person in the mirror. I said, you've got to start believing what this says about you. You are a child of God. And at first she says it felt a bit corny, but she would do it day after day. It was part of her, I suppose, her morning routine. And the more she spoke to herself, the more she began to believe what she was saying to herself. And little by little, it went from just words to she actually started believing what God said about her. And little by little, inside of her self-talk and inside of her actual thinking, she began to trust and believe what the Heavenly Father has been saying all this time about her. And you know, the amazing thing about the Word of God, it says God's Word is living and active. In other words, when we put faith behind what God says, it grows like a plant inside of you. It actually begins to grow and release life. And the more she started believing it, the more it began to change her heart. And as her heart began to change and she recognized, I'm valuable, I'm royalty, I'm a daughter of the Most High God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As she began to believe it, suddenly she began to realize her behavior's changing. There was a discipline. She began to run or whatever exercise she'd do. She began to manage then her eating and this and that. And next thing, she's looking completely different. To the point where other people began to say to her, like, wow, something's changed. And she began to help 1, 2, 3. Now she's running a free online ministry with people in the United States and Spain and South America. And she coaches them on how to lose weight, not with diets, but with what God says. And I was amazed at her testimony. I was just quite enthralled by it. But as I was listening, I'm thinking, this is not about weight. This is about behavior. You see, it's not just you've got a weight problem, you've got an identity problem. It's all of us have got some kind of behavior issues in our lives. And I began to realize more and more, and I mean, and you know it, we've looked at that identity series, we've studied identity, but it really drove home the point that each of us, you might have an addiction problem, you might have an out of control behavior problem, but that's not the problem. What's the problem? Your identity is the problem. You might know so much about what the Father says about you, but it hasn't yet dropped into your heart. And I'm not speaking to you, I'm speaking to me. There's areas of my life where you can try, and you can try a New Year's resolution, and you can be more disciplined, and it doesn't work, because the problem is not in your effort. The problem is what you believe about yourself. Amen? I want to tell you about a man who had a radical identity change. This guy, who was once a fisherman. Now, I've got nothing against fishermen, and I know many of you are fishermen. But this fisherman called Peter probably never ever saw himself as a mighty apostle to the nations until he met Jesus. I want to take you through a couple of thoughts that have just, as I've been pondering, just the beautiful words of Scripture. He says, as you come to him. That's where it started. As you come to him, the living stone, you also, like living stones, are being transformed. I remember the first time I came to Jesus. How many of you remember the first time you really came to Jesus? For me, I've told my story, 19th of August, 1989, as a 17-year-old, really coming to Jesus. And not just from a distance, but actually coming to Jesus in faith, coming to Jesus with an open heart, coming to Jesus on my knees saying, Lord, I'm giving my life to you. As you come to Jesus, not to church, that's easy. As you come to Jesus, Peter, I bet you when he was writing this, I'm trying to put myself in this old fisherman's shoes, I bet you he remembers very clearly the first time he came to Jesus. You see, it actually tells us in John 1, verses 41 and 42, it says, the first thing Andrew is Peter's brother, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon, that was Peter's name before he met Jesus, and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And Andrew brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. Isn't that amazing? I bet you Peter remembered this, as you come to Jesus, because the first time he came to Jesus, he was introduced in a remarkable way. Imagine I'm going up to meet someone like, hi, my name is Brent. He said, not anymore. Now your name's Bob, or whatever it might be. I mean, that's quite a weird introduction to someone. The word Simon means herd. That's what his name means. Now in Jewish culture and tradition, names are way more than just a little label. They actually carry significance and meaning. And his name meant herd. And if you know anything about Peter and the story of Peter, Peter liked to be heard. Peter was that guy. He was an extrovert. Peter was that guy who often spoke before he actually thought, and often got himself into trouble because of what he said, because he liked to be heard. He was that guy when Jesus said, you guys are going to all abandon me. It's like, no, I could understand why these guys will abandon you, but not me. I mean, Peter was that guy he rebuked Jesus. Imagine, you're like, no, Jesus, no, we will never allow you to be arrested. And Jesus had to say to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're not thinking about the things of God. Peter liked to be heard. The word Cephas means, well, modern day translation would be rocky. It really would. It'd be like a little stone. And which is interesting, as you come to him, the living stone, Jesus, the rock. And Jesus says, your name is going to be not heard, but your name is going to be little rock. And I want to drive home this point. The way we change is not by hard work and effort. If you want your life to radically be transformed, come to Jesus. Come to him. When we come with an open heart, the very first thing Jesus does in our lives is he changes our identity from the way we see ourselves to the way God sees us. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. In John 7, verse 37, Jesus said it like this. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Come to me. I want to drive home the fact that that's where it all starts. That's the invitation Jesus gives everyone and every single one of us. Come to me and drink, whoever believes in me. That's interesting. He says, come to me. Then he says, whoever believes in me. To come to Jesus means to truly start believing him. Not coming to church and singing religious songs. No. Do you actually believe what Jesus is saying? And the proof of the pudding is not in quoting scripture. It's doing it. Amen. I mean, we can fill our heads with a lot of Bible knowledge and Bible understanding, and you grew up in church and you know your Sunday school stories and you know so much about the Bible, but are you actually doing it? As we come to Him, we're coming with our hearts. We're actually coming with our free will. And remember when God created you and I, what set us apart from the animals and Him is God gave you free will. Sometimes think, why don't you just make us like these new generation robots that can just do exactly what they programmed to do? Then God, we would give you no problem. But you know, if God made us like robots, we would do exactly what He told us, but we'd never truly love Him because we never had a choice not to. And so God created us with free will. As you come to Him, what you're really doing is you coming to Him with your free will, and like in the words of Jesus, not my will, but your will be done. That's worship. Worship is not just singing songs, not just breaking bread. Worship is bringing our very will and saying, God, I'm coming to you with my free will and I'm giving it back to you and saying, let your will be done. As you come to Him, the living stone, you also like living stones. This is one of the most beautiful things I love about Jesus. Bibles tell us, and we've looked at it many times before, that we were created for the glory of God. It's just an incredible thing. And sons and daughters, when God made you, He made you for glory, but not your glory. Something way better than your glory. God made you to reflect His glory. And Isaiah tells us we were created for His glory. We were literally created like a reflector. And what Peter, he realized this because he says, as you come to Him, the living stones, you also lack living stones. You see, as you come to Jesus in belief, as you see in the mirror more of Jesus, guess what happens? People see more of Jesus in you. Let me say that again. As you see more of Jesus in the mirror of His word, people will start seeing more of Jesus in you. That's how we are changed. That's how our identity is changed. Not by trying harder, but as we receive His word, as we begin to see in His word the reflection of God more and more, as we're studying, as we're chewing on His word, as we're meditating, as we get the revelation of who Jesus is, naturally our lives become a reflection of who He is. The living stone. And that's what happened to Peter. And that's what happened to her. God said, you don't have a weight problem. You have an identity problem. The more she came to Jesus, the more she heard His voice, the more she was transformed. But I love what He says next. He says, as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him. Don't you love that about our God? Our God chooses what the world rejects. In fact, sometimes being rejected by the world might be a great sign that the choosing of God is upon your life. And I know that seated here this morning are many of you who've wrestled with rejection in some way. Now, some of you have dramatic testimonies. Marilisa has shared vulnerably her testimony of what it meant to be born and grow up knowing you're not wanted by your parents, living under this cloud of rejection. Yet isn't it amazing that God wanted to? Chosen by God and precious. And then I began to think, but maybe, I mean, that's a dramatic story. I was actually well-loved. I've got parents, they weren't believers, but they've loved me and always told me that they've loved me. And yet in my heart, I felt like I'm not fitting in. There's something missing in the world. I was actually doing quite well. I was 17 years old. I was doing well at school, well at sport. Actually, on the outside, it looks like, hey, you're fitting in with the worldly system quite well. Truth be told, inside, there was something missing. And I'm convinced that all of you are here today because you've realized at some point that actually the system of the world, it doesn't work. It doesn't fulfill. It doesn't bring peace. It doesn't bring wholeness. It doesn't bring joy. And this beauty, coming to the realization that actually rejected by the world is not a bad thing. Actually, it's a good thing. When you realize the world is not enough, the world doesn't fulfill, the world promises so much and delivers so little, rejected by the world, but chosen by God and precious to Him. Some of you have been living under a rejection complex. And when you live under a rejection complex, you reflect rejection to everyone around you, just waiting for them to reject you. In Jesus' name, repent today. Repent today. You've seen it as a bad thing, and I can't imagine the pain you might have carried all of these years. But just realize this today. As powerful as rejection of the world might be, more powerful is but chosen by God and precious to Him. Now, you've got to choose who you believe. You can live the rest of your life putting more emphasis on the fact that the world seems to reject you. You've been bullied, you've been ostracized, you don't fit in, something's missing. And that can define your identity. I'm rejected by the world. Or you can realize, but chosen by God and precious to Him. You see, God delights in taking the very things that the world rejects and says, let me show you my glory through them. God doesn't look for superstars and superheroes. God looks for humble servants who He can pour out His glory upon. And the world celebrates superheroes and celebrates, and God is choosing those the world rejects so that His glory can shine through them. Some of you today, I want you to repent radically, and I'm going to give you a moment, an opportunity in a moment, to stop buying into rejection as a primary identity and realizing, actually, Lord, You choose those who are rejected for Your glory. And when we change that, I'm chosen by God, precious to Him, radical things change in our lives. Rejected by the world means chosen and precious to God. Let me move on quickly. I've loved this scripture. I've just been pondering it the last couple of weeks. It says, you too, as you come to Him, this living stone rejected by men, chosen by God, precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built together to become a spiritual house and a holy priesthood. I want to lovingly say to some of us, especially, let me just barge my way through this, especially white people. And I'll tell you why. Because one of the things I love so much about the black community is they think way more community-wise than generally Western-type civilizations, which are so individualistic, self-centered, convenience, humanistically driven. And one of the radical things that what happens when we come to Christ is you realize it's not about you. We realize Jesus dying on the cross in isolation alone for sin. But when He was raised from the dead, He was raised as the head of His new body, the church. Died as an individual, raised a community. And when you come to Christ, you come with your sin and you bring it to Jesus. You own your sin. You confess your sin. I'm a sinner. I need saving. No one can get saved for you. You're praying. Granny cannot save you. Only you can bring your sin to Jesus. But when you come as an individual and bring your sin to Jesus and are born again, you are born again into community. And in the words of Jesus, He taught us to pray. He said, our Father. Not my Father. No. Now we're a we. The glory of a brick is not in its shiny surface. It's in the fact that it's part of a beautiful building. Now, for us and our identity is not primarily individual, it's community. And if you're going to live your life purely thinking individualistically all the time, it's all about me, you're going to miss the glory of your new covenant, your born again identity, which is a we identity. God puts us together like bricks in a building. I mean, you can look at some of those old bricks we had then, and I mean, each of those bricks might be beautiful, but the glory of those bricks is not just lying in a pile, it's when it's built together. And in exactly the same way, the identity God has for you is worked out in the us. We need you, you need us. The beautiful pictures of the New Testament, we're a temple together. You and I, we like bricks coming together, forming this house of God where God dwells by His Spirit. We're members of a body, hands, feet, eyes, ears. And as we come together reflecting Jesus. You need hands to minister to you and feet to go. And you might be the eyes. Some of you might be the ears. Some of you might be the pancreas. I don't even know what they do, but we need them. We need each other to fulfill what God has called us to do. Kingdom culture celebrates our Father. Kingdom culture calls you a sheep. I mean, let's be honest, that's not a glamorous animal. I think I'd have a better identity if I was called a lion. Brent, my lion. No, he calls me a sheep. But sheep get their identity out of a flock, and that's where they thrive. Have you repented of your fixation with self? And God loves you, but actually, it says God loves the world. And we're part of that. Do you see yourself as part of something greater? Quickly, you're built into the spiritual house to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. I am so, so pleased that we are New Testament priests and not Old Testament priests. Imagine if we were still Old Testament priests. Each of you would be coming to church on Sundays. You'd be bringing your lamb, your goat. It would be like a Bra Master Abattoir Deluxe. There'd be stink of animals. I mean, maybe the smell of the bra flace would be good. There'd be blood all over the place. I know many of you sin a lot. So every week you're bringing another lamb, another goat, and we have to sacrifice this thing over and over again. That's how you worship God, by bringing this animal to be sacrificed on your behalf for your sin. But that was the picture of Jesus. And when John the Baptist saw Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's been done, but it doesn't mean to say we come with nothing. The Bible calls us as priests. What do priests do? We're a priesthood. And as priests, we bring sacrifices to God. The Bible says, offer your body as a living sacrifice. Priests, here's our job. To realize this body of mine is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me. This is part of his temple. I've got to honor. I don't worship this body, but I realize it belongs to God, and my priestly duty is to use this body to the glory of God. Amen? That's what it means to be a priest. The Bible speaks about to bring the sacrifice of praise. Priests praise God all the time. Immature baby believers who don't fully understand the wonder and goodness of God thank and praise God when he does what they want. But when he doesn't do what they want, they sulk, withdraw, and blame God. Until you realize my Father is good all of the time. And I may not understand, I may not see, but my Father is worthy of worship. If he never does another thing for me, he's given me his Son to die for me in my place to give me eternal life. I don't need anything more. Amen? Priests praise God in the good season and the bad, day in and day out. Priests offer up prayers. You have the ear of your Father. What a privileged position. The God of the heavens inclines his ear towards you, his sons and daughters. What a glorious position to be in. That's why we pray. Part of our priestly duty is to pray for our families, to pray for our city, pray for our nation, pray because God hears. Part of our priestly duty is to offer resources in every way. Everything belongs to God anyway, but we can bring our very resources before God and say, God, I want this stuff in the world. I can offer it up to you, and it then takes on eternal value and rewards. Behavior matches identity. So let me bring this into land. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Friends, when we let this drop into our heart, remember, we become like a mirror of his glory. You know what chosen people do? They choose people. They choose to love people. They choose to serve people. Chosen people choose people. You know what royal priests do? They offer royal sacrifices to God. Do you know what a holy nation does? A holy nation reflects a holy culture separated unto God. Do you know what God's special possession does? They give God special attention. People of God reflect God to people. And people who receive mercy express mercy to others. My identity. First my identity, and then my behavior naturally follows that identity. So let me land with this one. You are, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his, say, wonderful. Wonderful light. The call of God upon your life is out of darkness and into his wonderful light. I want to say that the light of God is wonderful. To live your life without shadows and darkness inside of you is a beautiful place to be. We live in a world that's obsessed with their privacy and all these things, and I get these reasons. But you know what? Children of God are called out of darkness into His wonderful light. Now, the devil will lie to you because kind of you've got the secret compartments of your heart. You've got like the stuff that nobody else knows about. And if surely if they don't know about it, it doesn't affect them. It's fine. No. You're carrying, as a child of the light, we reflect lives of light. I want to encourage every one of you. Bible says the people love darkness because their deeds were evil. That's why people like secrets, because they're hiding stuff. They love darkness for fear that the light would expose. God's light is wonderful. It is wonderful because it frees you to confess. I have people who come in and confess stuff to me like the other pastors. We don't have a confessional booth, although I sometimes think maybe we should get one. But there's something so therapeutic just being able to bring things out of the darkness and into the light, to renounce darkness, to turn from things that you know are wrong, to come clean. We're children of light, so live in the light. We don't have behavior problems. We have identity problems. Now, I know this is, I confessed my sin to you 2 weeks ago when one of my sins, I'm not a games player, but there's one stupid little game I play on my phone every single day, coffee golf, and I've got to beat my brother-in-law in Durban. That's what keeps me motivated. But now to continue, since I've brought it out of the darkness and into the light, every day, I don't know, you're competing against thousands, millions of people right around the world, and every day, based on your little score, there's like five little holes, I try and get it in 10. Every day it tells you your ranking. You know, you just, well, that was your score. Or top 50%, top 25%, top 10%, top 5%, or top 1%. And what I've realized over my 109-day streak of playing coffee golf, I've realized I'm a 5%er. Yeah. That's who I am. You are looking right here at a 5%er. Now, I'll tell you, I know, don't judge me because you've got weird stuff in your life. The point that I'm saying is I actually realized I will no longer accept just top 50% or top 25% or even top 10%, because I know I'm a top 5%er. And so I will play that game again until I get it right and get into the top 5%. Now, here's the point that I'm trying to make. I realized with this stupid little game that your identity is going to determine your behavior. Because I've realized that's who I am. It's kind of, that's the expectation that I now have. And so when I see my behavior not matching my identity, I'm going to work on my behavior until it's in line with my behavior. Does that make sense? Once a fisherman meets Jesus, he says, no. You're no longer Simon. From now on, you're going to be a reflection of me. I'm the big rock. You're the little rock. You are going to reflect me for the rest of your life. As you come to Jesus, I want to close, and I'm going to do it a little bit differently. I'm going to ask you all to stand right now, if you don't mind. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer in a moment. But remember this, radical repentance leads to radical grace. Not sorry, Lord, but radical repentance. I used to think this, believe this, but now I believe this. And why don't you close your eyes with me, because I'm going to ask you 5 questions. If you're far from God right now, then the word says, as you come to Him. Maybe you need to radically repent this morning and say, enough being far from God. Today, I repent, I'm coming close to you. I'm opening my heart, surrendering my heart, giving my life to this Jesus. Number 2, maybe you're not reflecting Jesus to the world. As you come to the living stone, you too should become like a living stone. There's no fruit of transformed character in your life, then you're still too far from the mirror. You've got to come closer, and the closer to the mirror, the more clearly you see, the brighter you reflect. And maybe if your life is not changing, it's because you're still too far from the reflection of Jesus. He wants to reveal Himself more. He wants to take you deeper into His word. He's calling you into intimacy. Maybe you're allowing a rejection complex to rule over you. It's part of your identity. Just waiting to be rejected, expecting to be rejected. Remember, God chooses what the world rejects. Maybe your identity is pure individualism and not enough community-based. It's me and Jesus. Nope. You're part of something much greater. Have you embraced the we, the community? This is who I am, worked out in the people of God. And maybe you're still living in darkness. There's darkness inside of you, secrets, dodgy stuff, things that you wouldn't want people to know that you do. And you haven't yet stepped into his wonderful light. Maybe God has today put his finger on your heart and it says, it's time. I'm calling you out of that and into his glorious light. Father, as we stand before you this morning, thank you so much, Jesus, that you are the one who transforms us. You're the living stone. As we come to the living stones, we, like living stones, are being transformed. And Father, I pray that there would be radical repentance that takes place in each one of our hearts this morning. Thank you that there's no condemnation for us in Christ, but rather when we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. We come to you, Jesus, with open hearts. We come to you, Jesus, in surrender and humility. We come to you, Jesus, and say thank you for saving us. And just with our eyes closed for a moment, I do want to extend an invitation. If you're far from God and have never received, you've never come to Jesus, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. We're going to be praying for people right now, and we invite you to come for prayer. You'll know it. Your heart is beating. God is saying, that's you. Come and join us. If your body needs prayer for sickness, for healing in some way, we'd love to pray for you as well. Father, thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Thank you that you've got purpose and plan, destiny for our lives. We give you all the glory and honor. We thank you that as we go knowing your gracious hand is upon us in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen. One quick word of knowledge. Maybe this is for you. Hold a sec.
Hello, everyone. I believe there's someone with your ankle, your left side, your ankle on the inside of your leg. You experience pain, especially at night when you're sleeping.
Okay, so pain on the inside of your left ankle. If that's you, you'll know it right now. Come for prayer. Let's trust God for healing for that. Amen. If you are new, don't forget the Hello Corner, the tithes and offering boxes by the pillars on your way out if you want to make use of that. May the Lord bless you. Let's have some tea, coffee, and I hope to see you at the picnic at 4:00. Amen.